is truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Last week, you heard Judge Roy Moore on this program announce that he changed his position regarding the recent partial birth abortion ruling, and now, after reading the text itself, he strongly condemns it as a violation of the law of God. Well, I promoted yesterday that today you would hear a former staff attorney with Focus on the Family, James Odom, who is here today to discuss God and the law, and how biblical principles should inform our understanding of government, law, and public policy. James Odom, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
I'm grateful to be here.
It's so good to have you in studio. Could we dig right in and let me ask you, you're a lawyer. I don't often have lawyers on the show, James.
Well, that's probably wise of you. There aren't very many of them that would say the right thing.
Yeah, that would put God's law over man's agreements and ideas. But could we start with this question? What is it, in a nutshell, that you think that has so ruined and perverted America's legal system?
Well, I don't know that most people would have the exact terminology for it, but it's what you call and what I call legal positivism.
Legal positivism. Now, we're here to talk about God and the law, but that term doesn't appear in the Bible, legal positivism. But what is that? What is legal positivism?
Well, it means that a philosophical position that the origin of law is with man rather than with God.
The origin, that law starts with man.
It comes from man. In other words, the judges make the law, and that's what Oliver Wendell Holmes said years ago, is that the law is made by the judges rather than just found by the judges.
He was a horrendous troublemaker, Oliver Wendell Holmes. On this show occasionally, I've read quotes from him, and he'll say things like, justice has nothing to do with it, it's the law. We're only here to rule on the law, so justice, truth, those are not relevant. And he will point out, when he's asked, well, what is the law? I remember a famous quote from him. He said, the law is anything that a judge is expected to rule. That's what he said, is the law. So forget about God and right and wrong and justice. Now, did he play an important role in America's judicial history, this Oliver Wendell Holmes guy?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, he's probably one of the, if not the most respected jurists of our time. And yet he believed that there wasn't a fixed law, but that what the judges ruled was the law.
Right. So he would have been a prosecutor against Judge Roy Moore to kick Judge Roy Moore out of office, because the judge honored God's law and the Ten Commandments.
I'm sure he gladly would have been.
Yeah.
He'd have been willing to have Judge Moore's mother sterilized, because Judge Moore is an imbecile in his opinion.
Yeah, in fact, he wrote an opinion to that effect, right?
Buck versus Bell.
Buck versus Bell. If somebody is judged to be incompetent, an imbecile is the word he used, then you could forcibly sterilize that person.
That's right.
And that's been a huge embarrassment to America, but still, he's honored. He was a state Supreme Court justice from Massachusetts, and then he became a U.S. Supreme Court judge.
That's correct.
And so that decision, that Buck versus Bell, that's affected our culture. And in fact, when people want to criticize America, they will go back into our history and they'll dig that up.
In fact, they did criticize it in the Nuremberg hearings. We were just talking about that.
The movie, not only the hearings, but the movie also from Hollywood, Judgment at Nuremberg,
brings it out. Judgment at Nuremberg is a great movie. I think it's the Schindler's List of the time. So,
yeah, that is a great movie. And by the way, our video, Focus on the Strategy 2, we show an excerpt from that movie judgment at Nuremberg, where American and Allied judges are sitting in court judging German judges. And these German judges, they thought their defense would be, well, we were just following precedent and we're following the law. And it turns out our judges said, that's no defense. When you murder the innocent, you're guilty. That's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
I think we've forgotten all that by now.
Well, I think so. I think it's interesting, though, that the conscience is still there with people. I mean, there was a fairly modern movie, and I don't recommend this because it's got bad language in it, but it's A Few Good Men. Mm. And they lose, ultimately, even though they show that the order was given because they should have disobeyed the order. And Everybody knows there's a higher authority, a higher power that you're to follow. You don't just blindly follow the commands that you're given by judges or by your military commanders either.
And so you, for years, you were a staff attorney with Focus on the Family, James. And what we have been doing here at Bob Inert Live for years is we've been calling out to our Christian leaders saying we should not defend these rulings of federal judges who say it's okay to kill children. Those decisions are being defended because we're told by Gary Bauer and by Jay Sekulow and by Hugh Hewitt and by Dr. Dobson even that, well, those judges, they have to rule that way because they're following precedent. So they have to rule to kill these kids.
When you talked a lot about Sam Alito, and it clearly Sam Alito was doing exactly the thing that the Nuremberg judges were doing. He was saying, look, I've been told that by my higher authorities here that I should do something that the ultimate authority says is wrong. And then Focus and really they don't have a large legal staff there other than to do normal legal activities, but they do have one guy in public policies who's a judicial analyst. And, you know, he defended that. He said, oh, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. Well, that's what the whole legal profession thinks. And that's exactly the problem we're talking about here today.
The
legal positive.
The legal profession thinks. And that means the Christian lawyers who are working for Christian ministries for the most part. Now, you are one of the few that I've met who recognize this problem of legal positivism, but our Christian lawyers have gone down this path of believing that Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. was right, that whatever man decides is the law, that's what we have to uphold. We might try to use the process and change it, but in the meantime, we're going to uphold these rulings, and we're going to support and endorse and even defend them as the rule of law.
That's certainly the case as it stands today.
So what is the root cause of legal positivism? Where did it come from? How did we get it?
Well, I mean, the root cause is really sin nature. Man wants to exalt himself as over God.
I guess that is it in a nutshell. People ask me, well, why did that politician say that? I say, because he hates God. And so I ask you, why do we have legal positivism? Because of sin. And man doesn't want to submit to the authority of God, so he exalts himself over God. God says, do not murder. Men say, do not murder unless you wait 24 hours.
Well, and you know, it's been this way for all of history. I mean, King Edward got beheaded and deposed by Oliver Cromwell because he said, look, I'm the highest authority, not God. Mm-hmm. I don't submit to him. He just ordains me and then I'm in charge. And the same thing happened with the Roman Caesars. They all said, we are God, actually. And that's why the Christians were persecuted. It's natural for man to decide, I don't want to be under the authority of God. I'm going to take over. And this is the backdoor way that we've done it in America. Mm-hmm.
We're speaking with James Odom, a lawyer who's helping us understand this issue of legal positivism. Now, I'm not a big fan of Thomas Jefferson. Our website calls out his comments against Jesus Christ, and he was not a believer. And he's the primary author of the Declaration of Independence, but he started out saying some really good and important things at the top of the Declaration of Independence, and I see that you brought a quote from there. And so let's hear that and see what's there that's good.
Well, the beginning of the Declaration of Independence, and I skip a sentence because the beginning of it is basically talking about why we're breaking off from another country. But this is, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
So, right there, first off, that all men are created equal.
Well, and that they're created. We've enshrined that there's absolute truth, fixed and absolute truth.
That they are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Unalienable, non-transferable. Somebody can't say to you, if you give me $500, I'll let you kill me and use my kidneys and my organs. Because your right to life is unalienable. Today we tend to say inalienable, but same thing. So that is a solid foundation. You're saying that's a solid foundation from which we derive our rights?
Well, it not only is it a solid foundation from which we derive our rights, but... For one thing, it's establishing absolute truth. We live in a postmodern culture, and it's saying there is self-evident truth, and it's saying that there is a Creator. And if we don't identify who that Creator is specifically and follow the things that He said, in other words, we don't say, oh, well, this Muslim God somebody's created, or this whatever God somebody's created, oh, that's okay, because that's a religiously held belief. They really believe in that. We've got to identify who the Creator is, and He makes the law, and we know who it is, and they knew who it was when they founded this.
The Creator,
it's the God
is
of the Bible.
The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, who was identified, even in our Constitution that doesn't mention the Creator like this. It's ratified at the very end. It says in the year of our Lord, 1789. So even the Constitution, at least in that way, recognizes not Buddha or Muhammad or Moses even or Abraham, but it recognizes Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because there's another point that I was interested in making, which is that the U.S. Code has the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation. It's not necessary to say, well, the document, the Constitution, doesn't say anything about the Creator or about God. It's included. Those are included as organic laws of our nation. They're included in the U.S. Code.
It's like the Charter of the Nation.
Exactly, and that's how you're supposed to understand the Constitution. The Declaration is the statement that the Constitution implements.
So if God has given these rights, so a child who's conceived in the womb, fertilization is concerned, is a living, unique human being, are we allowed to trade away those rights for some hopeful victory? Like, we'll say, okay, you can kill those kids over there. If you vote for me, I support killing those kids. But then, hey, I'm Republican, and you'll win another election if you vote for me. That's like, to me, that's like bargaining away that inalienable right to life. Is that justifiable?
Well, I would say it's not. I think that the people that advocate those positions don't advocate them necessarily with a bad motive. They think, oh, we'll gain something at the end, but it's a compromise. And it's not right to do that, and it's certainly not an effective strategy to
do that.
Well,
these rights, the rights don't come from National Right to Life, as far as I could tell. They're not the ones who grant that right. It doesn't come from the Republicans. It doesn't come from the Constitution. Does the right to life come from the Constitution?
No, absolutely not.
No,
it comes from God.
It comes from
given
God.
Given to us through the Creator.
So do we have the authority to negotiate away that right, to enter into negotiations and say, okay, here's what we'll do. You can kill, we'll grant you the authority to kill these people here if you help us win this election over here. It seems to me like a fundamental violation of the God-given right to life.
Well, I think you're right. I think there's a even deeper thing, because what we're doing is we're bargaining away somebody else's right. That as an unborn child, it's got its own. Those rights come to it through the Creator as well.
And so then we're undermining this very concept of the rights founded on the Creator's truth. because now all of a sudden it doesn't really matter what the Creator says or what he has done. What matters is whether or not we're going to agree on some kind of a compromise or a bargaining chip. So we use these kids over here as a bargaining chip. We win an election, and we have undermined the authority of God to reveal his law. Do not murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery.
Well, and what else you're doing is you are endorsing this sort of a viewpoint. You're really endorsing the legal positivism viewpoint, because those people who you elect, now they think, oh, this is the way it's supposed to go. And they soften up their positions. And even if they had the right position to begin with, they start thinking this way.
That's exactly right. And that's the pragmatic implication of all this. People who would disagree with us, like National Right to Life, they say, well, you got to be pragmatic. Well, they don't see the wisdom of the insight you just gave. And the pragmatic application of all this is that these officials and these judges end up saying, you know what? I do have the right over innocent life. I do have that right, because here's Jay Sekulow calling on me to uphold a law that says with a 4-inch variation, you could perform a partial birth abortion and you could kill that baby. So we ask these judges to rule to kill the innocent. We think we're doing it for a good reason, and it backfires. They reject the God-given right to life.
I think that pragmatism is just a buzzword that's put together by some of the Republican ideologues, and some of them I worked with at Focus on the Family, at least one or two of them. Mm-hmm. And I believe that what that's designed to do is just to marginalize the people that want to go a step further to not compromise the position. Honestly, it's all a matter of pragmatism. You have pragmatism, too. You've said it before. Close one abortion clinic and then the next one and then the next one.
Yeah.
That's pragmatic. You can't close them all at once.
Right.
But you don't have to compromise your principles. And that's what they're trying to get you to do with that word pragmatism all the time. That's not really the issue.
Right. You don't undermine, you don't violate God's commands because something looks practical or achievable. You first look at God and honoring him, and then you say, okay, in that context, that's the boundary, honoring God. Now, what can I do? What in the will of God can I do to try to stop the killing of children? But National Right to Life has taught the whole Christian community to do it the other way and say, well, first, what can we do? And then we'll think about God later. And that's, of course, horrific. Now, this whole idea of authority, James, you were saying that really it's the message of the Bible, this authority. Do men have the right to decide whether you could kill an innocent person or not? Where does that right come from? It's authority.
Well, and Jesus in Matthew 8, 9, and 10 said that he praised the Roman guard who came to him and said, I'm a man under authority, and you don't even need to come under my roof. And Jesus said, this is the greatest faith I've seen in Israel. Mm. Authority is just a crucial concept in our society, and we're undermining it through all these things, and legal positivism undermines that.
Yeah, and you know, one beautiful resource that Focus on the Family produced recently is The Truth Project by Dr. Dale Tackett, who's the president of Focus Institute, and he makes these points really clear in his presentation that secular humanism, moral relativism, legal positivism, that they destroy the foundation of society, the authority and truth that comes from God.
Well, and he does say it very well. In fact, I tell people that they can quote me on this, but they don't have to quote me on this now because I'm saying it publicly. This is the best thing Focus has ever done. So
the best thing ever, The Truth Project.
And that's including Doc's books and everything. And I think that Doc thinks it's pretty good, too, because I've heard him talk about, when I say Doc, Dr. Dobson's who I'm talking about.
Right, sure. And so The Truth Project, we refer to The Truth Project in our own materials and Focus on the Strategy 2, the DVD, because we're pointing out, hey, even Focus on the Family is acknowledging that legal positivism is secular humanism. It's destructive of God's authority and the whole foundation of society. And yet what happens when you get to the public policy department within Focus on the Family, we went down there, James. We met the elders of Denver Bible Church. We did a presentation called Focus on the Strategy to Tom Minery, who's the vice president of public policy down there. And if we would have been talking to Del Tackett, Del Tackett would have connected with all this because we're saying the same thing he's saying. But we were talking to the public policy department within Focus, and it seems like they are pushing the hand of the policy statements of Focus on the Family are constantly sliding further and further from the biblical standards of truth to basically whatever the Republican Party platform is at the time.
Well, I think it's interesting, and you're right that Del Tackett approaches it from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. He approaches it from a perspective of biblical truth, as in the Truth Project, the things that he presents. And I think that Tom Minery and many others approach it from a different perspective, which is this quote-unquote Republican ideology and pragmatism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so if that's your number one goal, if that's your number one goal, then what happens is the morality begins to slide because every election there's a different set of issues that are up for grabs. And 10 years ago, Focus on the Family was taking stands that were good that today Tom Minery has told me we wouldn't take those stands regarding homosexual employment and renting and housing and all that. And so they're just constantly, I see, sliding. And so I pray that Del Tackett and his Truth Project ends up affecting the body of Christ in America more significantly than Focus on the Family is, because they've produced a resource that says we owe it to God to honor his authority and to not be secular humanists.
Well, and hopefully he'll actually get them thinking about it internally that way as well. Hopefully they will start looking at it from that perspective, because mm-hmm. it's hard to do that for anybody, Christian ministry or otherwise. Can mm-hmm. I do one more thing on
yeah.
the authority? The other thing is that Jesus said that all authority had been given to him already, and we mm-hmm. act as if, you know, we're not under his authority. All authority in heaven and earth has been
wow.
given to him. So the government's under him, and we need to behave like that.
That's in Matthew 28.
Mm-hmm. It's just a great commission.
All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus Christ said. And so certainly we don't have the right to undermine his authority when it comes to issues like do not murder. In fact, we often do this here at Bob and Yurt Live. We teach people that governments are directed by God. There are four of the Ten Commandments that have to do with criminal justice. And they are do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, and do not bear false witness against your neighbor. No perjury. So we should have a justice system that has due process. You can't just lie about your neighbor and have him punished. And that's the foundation. And we have seen that foundation crumble. And we're calling it legal positivism. That's what we're calling it.
Well, I think that's a fairly good name for it. Well, I mean, positivism, it's interesting, too, is that it means it's positive. It means somebody posits it. Mm. You don't have to posit it if it's set and it's already given by the Creator.
If it's revealed by God, do not murder, do not intentionally kill the innocent, then that's a standard mm. that he has revealed that we don't have the right to undermine. Now, this became popular. You were telling me when legal positivism became popular, and that actually has a connection with Darwin and evolution.
Well, again, and we mentioned the Truth Project. I'm not trying to plug them so much, but Dell does mention these things.
Mm-hmm.
The one date he wants people to remember is 1859. That's when
right.
The Origin of Species was published. The president of Harvard, Charles Eliot, he wanted to appoint, having been influenced by the Origin of Species, wanted to appoint a dean of the law school, the first dean of the law school, Christopher Columbus Langdell, in 1870, to teach law in absence of religion and teach the case method instead. And that caught on. And
well,
lawyers have all been taught that.
In other words, you just said case method and precedent. In other words, just as humans supposedly evolved from apes and insects and whatever, just as we evolved, the law supposedly evolves. And therefore, there's no such thing as absolute right or wrong or revealed truth from God. The law is just evolving. And so that really was, in America, the aggressive promotion of legal positivism, and that it's up to human beings and to judges to issue these rulings, and then case law is what all, even our Christian law students are taught to respect. And as a result of that, the law becomes millions of rulings, literally millions of rulings that no one knows, and it constantly evolves, and it typically becomes more and more godless.
You said it very well. I mean, and it's interesting to say that the law evolves as people evolve.
Yeah, and that's just devastating, absolutely devastating. So we've had like 150 years or so of this bad teaching. And how is it, James Odom, you're a lawyer, how is it that you know this? Because most lawyers don't know this because they're inside the system. They can't see outside the box.
Well, Bob, I told you a longer story, and I'm going to try to be brief since we're on the radio here, but I got exposed to some teachings from a guy named Herb Titus, and he's a lawyer, and he's one of the, in fact, he got kind of pushed out of a law school as dean because
a Christian law school. He was the dean, and why do you think that happened?
Well, I think it happened primarily because of this sort of mindset. I mean, the legal profession does not want to turn the tide of legal positivism back.
And that
they
includes
keep using
the Christians.
It.
Christian lawyers who are being taught through Christian ministries are learning to be secular humanists and legal positivists.
Absolutely.
And that's devastating for the moral foundation even of the body of Christ. It's devastating.
And Titus's books, and David Noble patterned his books at Summit Ministries off of that. And I got exposed to those on my own outside of law school. I was taught the same things. I would have never heard these things if God hadn't providentially just brought those things into my life.
Well, I'm really thrilled he did. And it's encouraging to me, James, that you and I have really known each other for years, and now you've been helping with our pro-life work here in Colorado and around the country. So it's neat to have a godly Christian man, a lawyer, who we could go to help us steer through the legal maze that our culture has become.
Well, I'm grateful to be able to help. Colorado Right to Life is the granddaddy of right-to-life movements. And I don't care how big Focus gets or how big anybody else gets, they are the 800-pound gorilla. They're the ones that's been out there for years.
And they're the ones right now that have taken up the mantle of the national leadership of the pro-life movement and said, we must honor God first, never undermine his command, do not murder, and we have to identify legal positivism and moral relativism and oppose it. So that's what we're up to. And thank you, James Odom, again, for all your help, and I look forward to months and years of working together.
Well, you're welcome, and I wish we could talk for hours more on this great topic.
Yeah, it is exciting, and we are out of time. So I want to encourage you, September 22nd is Colorado Right to Life's annual banquet. It's going to be a tremendous time. September 22nd, Saturday night, the day after the Columbine Memorial is revealed. So please, if you haven't done so already, call us or call Colorado Right to Life. Say, I'd like to be at the banquet. It's $60 to register for a seat, a wonderful meal. It's going to be in the Denver Tech Center at the Inverness Hotel. So we really need you to come on out if you possibly can. In fact, maybe you could have a table, sponsor a whole table of 10 people. So also, our website, kgov.com, and Maranatha Christian Center. What a great school in Arvada. That's Maranatha. May God bless you all.